Indaba, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special edition of Podcast and Chill. We're coming at you live from, where's this place, Gonji?
Rockets.
The Rockets in Bryanston, eh?
Yeah.
It's the first time you've been here. I had to bring him out just for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He doesn't frequent this side.
All right.
Dude, I'm so excited. You have no idea, bro.
Really?
I came up from Limpopo.
Listen, what was that? Was that Chivenda you were speaking now?
Inda.
Were you speaking Chivenda?
Yeah, in Chivenda.
Ah, no. I can't speak Venda, no.
For real?
Nah.
You never had it in any of your raps, ne?
What was, I mean, Utashkuma Shoshlaba is what, the song, right?
Stronger, yeah.
Yeah. You know, Venda, I mean, you know, to get straight into it, growing up in the hood, you know, Tsonga people, Vavenda people used to get teased, right?
Yes.
And we still do.
Well, I think there's a little bit more respect now.
Yeah.
And for me, it's such a disservice, especially using words as a currency, right?
Yeah.
Words, raps, and stuff like that. Not having been able to tap into that has been an absolute disservice because of biases and prejudices that come from the hood, you know? I can't understand any Shivenda. It's a travesty.
But what's crazy is that you're a big in Venda. Massive.
Yeah. Look, yeah, they love music. And I guess the rhythms, you know, whatever language you're using spoke to the people. We kind of resonated with people all over, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was saying, so I'm coming up from Venda.
Yeah.
Come to Joburg.
Yeah, yeah.
Get introduced to YFM, listening to the greats. And like back then, like you were like on every show, top 40, you had all the biggest songs. And to see you here and chat to you now is so surreal, dog. Because I literally grew up listening to you, bro.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
I guess that's how it happens, isn't it? It's like everything always comes full circle, you know. As we were talking off air, you know, you guys have been lurking in the shadows, hopefully learning from my mistakes,
yeah.
You know, and looking what not to do, being inspired.
Yeah.
And, you know, here we find ourselves today, you know.
Listen, your story has been well documented. You've got a book, you've done a lot of interviews. People knew, okay, you grew up in Soweto, lived a soft life, went to St. Stadiums, all that stuff, right?
Okay.
I want to get the juice, bro. I want to hear shit that no one has ever heard. Because if there's one guy I saw who's lived life, it's this guy, bro.
Stories on
360,
stories.
Bro.
180, you know, 180. 360, you end up at the same place.
Oh. Yeah, 180.
Geometry 101.
Because here's my thing, right? There's a lot of people that are living, but aren't living life. You get what I'm saying?
All right.
I think you've lived life, dog.
All right.
Tell me, why the fuck were you carrying a baseball bat in your car?
You know, you don't do tracks like, but you know, Batashkuma Shoshlabayo.
You don't
sing songs like that and not back it up. You know, where I come from, you know, your word is born.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess it came in a time in my life where I felt I needed one.
Yeah,
you know, it was getting quite real in the streets.
Didn't you have security cover?
Yeah, eventually I got security, but security at the time, it felt a tad bit soft, you know. So, but yeah, my well-documented baseball saga didn't last long, but it was an interesting chapter.
Did you ever use it?
I used it.
You're kidding.
For sure.
On who?
Nah, can't say.
Okay, but
I used it twice.
Okay, you can't say who, but why did you use it on them?
How? Okay, the first story, I was with Mandoza. We went to a club in Rivonia. And then we walked in. And like, for real, me and like Mdu were like, finally, Ashao Moya. We went to a club in Rivonia and we're just chilling. And as fate would have it, we're just chilling, we're having drinks, you know, chicks from across the table saw us, you know, started winking and all of that stuff. And look, maybe we shouldn't have kind of entertained it, but we did, you know. And the guys that we're with didn't kind of take too kindly to it. And, you know, cut a long story short, the next thing we were in the parking lot and, you know, shoving back and forth. But the guy got a good one on me, you know. And I'm like, I'm getting my baseball bat. He's just giving me the best excuse because he landed one good shot, you know.
Where's Mendoza? What's Mendoza doing?
Mendoza's running to get the car so that after I hit the baseball bat, we can get out of there.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I think it's, in hindsight, it's better it was a bat instead of a gun, bro.
For sure. Mm. I mean, hey, dude, even as I, you know, we laugh, but looking back on it, you know, there's an injured human being. It could have been worse. Mm. I look back on my life with so much gratitude because I got myself into a lots of trouble, man. And I thank God that it didn't, you know, it didn't become, you know, like an Oscar Pistorius or a Jupe Jupe piece where people lost their lives. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It could have.
It could have.
Yeah.
And hence, you know, talking about Jupe Jupe and Oscar, you know, not condoning whatever happened, but like my heart went out to them because I saw me. I was like, I was there. I could have hit the guy with the baseball bat on the head. The guy could have been dead, you know? So yeah, my heart did go out to those two when that happened, and I'm just really grateful to God that we can, you know, look back, laugh, you know, and there's no kind of serious repercussions, you know.
Is it true that you beat up a woman and then another woman you poured like a bottle of water on her and stuff like that?
I remember pouring, it was in a club. I remember pouring, I think it was water.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were crazy, man. We were crazy. Right. And let me not say we, I, because I got to take responsibility for my own thing, you know. I did pour water over a woman in a club.
Fucking hell. Have you spoken to that woman?
The woman that I poured the water over?
Yeah,
she's actually... she's actually, I would say, a good friend.
Yeah.
And she reminds me a lot about it in that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that about that.
And then is it the same woman that you beat up or that's another woman?
No. So, you know, this issue, how do I tackle this one? I guess to answer your question, no, it's not the same woman.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
what happened with that situation?
That situation... I always say, you know what, it's not my story to tell. You see, because I've got to respect, the survivor, right? But I take full responsibility for my, you know, shameful, you know, cowardly behavior, you know? And out of respect, you know, for the survivor, I'd say, yeah, it's not my story to tell, but... You know, as you've mentioned, it's not something that I've shied away from talking about. I've written about it in my book. I've tried to make amends, you know, with regards to kind of how I've moved on, you know, from that in terms of how I live life now. But yeah, it's not my story to tell, but I take full responsibility for it.
Isn't it crazy had those things happen now? Dude, you'd be canceled. Wouldn't be sitting here. Wouldn't even touch you. Yeah, he's radioactive.
He'd be radioactive. And inactive on the radio.
Yeah. Hey. And that's just two incidents that you've told us. Imagine all the other shit that we don't know, bro. Sure.
Yeah, look. I mean, yeah. It was a crazy time.
How crazy were you, bro? No time, innit?
Yeah, look, I mean, insecure, you know, didn't know whether I was coming or going.
And you're young, bro.
Yeah, look, it's no excuse, you know, but I think it's no excuse, but I think the most important thing is for us to really grapple with our issues, because the sooner we grapple with our issues, the sooner we deal with our issues, we stand a better chance of not perpetuating the nonsense.
What do you think your issues were?
I had my own issues, bro.
Was it your father? Your relationship with your father?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely my relationship with my dad was quite a volatile one. But I'm very proud to say that, you know, before my dad died, he saw the new man.
Yeah, yeah.
He saw me getting on the other side of, you know, the issues I was dealing with, right? The point I was trying to make is it's very important for all of us, you know, to really face those demons, because when we do face those demons, we stand a better chance of not perpetuating the nonsense and people don't get hurt in the process, you know?
Yeah. So how was your relationship with your dad like?
I say it was volatile, man. You know, my dad... And let me set it up like this. Yeah. My heart goes out to that generation.
Okay.
That generation had their backs up against the wall.
Yeah. So much turmoil.
So much, right? And I don't even think they had the wherewithal to be able to communicate with us, show affection, or whatever it was, right?
They didn't know how to.
I don't think they did.
Yeah.
Right? But then I didn't know. It's something that I know now, you know?
Because you're a parent now yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess having worked, having made the mistake of laying a hand on a woman, you know, because I saw my dad do it, right? And then you kind of identify, you know?
And it becomes a norm.
Well, shouldn't be a norm, but you identify, then you're like, flip, you know, what I hated about somebody, you know, I'm now that person, kind of, you know, what's going on.
Mm.
You know, so my relationship with my dad, yeah, I guess my dad was an alcoholic, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I guess, you know, very volatile relationship with my mom. And yeah, being a firstborn son and being quite defensive over, you know, my mom, you know, cause a lot of friction, you know, with my dad.
Yeah, but he also had a good part to play because...
Massive.
Between him and your respect. Mother, the vinyls they used to play in the house.
Nah,
I mean, you know?
Yeah, look, my dad, like, honestly, there's no, absolutely no beef at all now. I take him with his warts and all, you know, cause all of him, you know, created the man I am today, you know what I'm saying?
100%.
So. Yeah, I mean, the vinyls, you know, music was a massive part that he imparted in my life. Respect and hard work, you know, the principle of hard work. My dad always instilled that in me, that you always got to work hard.
Bro, what were they doing? How did they afford to get you into say stadiums, bro?
So, my folks, you know, we tapped into kind of some scholarship funds with where my dad was working.
Oh.
My dad worked at Liberty Life. You know, tapped into some scholarships there. My mom was a teacher. So, you know, through being a teacher and, kind of understanding where the pockets of funding lay, you know, got me to St. Stithians. But they footed most of the bill. And even today, as I think about it, I don't know how they did it.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
I don't know how
they
did it.
I mean, it's great to go to St. Stithians now. Imagine 50, 100 years ago.
I don't know how they did it. I mean, I look at me. I don't know how they did it, man. I mean, I asked my mom today and I'm like, how do you do it? I look at my kids. I've got two kids paying school fees and all of the rest of it, you know. We've got a double income household.
Yeah,
you know,
and it's still not
and
easy.
And it's like, geez, we're still trusting God for... you know, to get us through, right?
Yeah.
And then you think of, yeah, kind of the kind of money they were bringing home, what they were paying at Saints. It was all God, brother, you know.
Yeah.
It was all God's grace, I think, that really got us through, you know.
Let's talk about the music, man. TKZ, who was the Beyonce? Who was the Michelle?
I'd say Tukulu was the Beyonce.
No, you're right.
Tukulu was the Beyonce, I was the Michelle, for sure.
No way!
Yeah.
And Zwai, what was he doing?
Zwai was the Kelly then, I don't know.
Because from the way I see it, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. I think Zwai came with the musical experience and knowledge.
You know, let's set the record. Look, okay, maybe finish your thought.
You came with the soft life, I'm in the north vibe. And then Tukulu was like, for the people, like gangster in the hood, in the trenches with the people. That's, I don't know, I could be wrong.
Rubbish. All of us. Take anyone out of TKZ, there's no TKZ.
Yeah.
There's no one who was more special or anyone who was more talented or whatever. Everybody came with what they had, and that's why it's, you know, still the biggest Kwaito group in the country.
Yeah.
You know, so whenever I hear people go, yeah, because this one was that, and I'm like, whatever, man.
But Zwai was the musical genius, bro. Isn't he the one who said you must add on the song with Benny, the violin?
Shibobo.
Yeah.
Tukulu came up with that. You see, you guys pick up your things in the street. You see what I'm saying?
You kidding? Okay.
Who came up with the idea to sample Final Countdown?
Tukulu.
That was genius.
That's
man.
Tukulu.
For real.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of those stories.
I'm thinking it's Zwai.
You guys always just see, you know, what you hear. And like, you guys don't even know the half of it.
Yeah.
So where did the idea start? With the sample or the Shibobo?
Both of
idea.
Them were sitting in Hard Rock Cafe in Rosebank. I wasn't there. Final Countdown came on the speakers. Tukulu was like, we've got to sample that. That's the song. Because we were kind of workshopping a track for the Bafana Bafana World Cup 98.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. And yeah, I guess, you know, that was the idea. I came when it was cooking already. Mm. You know, I came to studio, the strings were laid down, and but I knew we had something special. You know?
Before we talk about the song, the Benny McCarthy song, man. How dope was Tukulo, bro? Because till this day,
Too dope.
Nah. Oh, he doesn't get his flowers, though.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, dude.
Bro.
Like, for real, like, there's the Makesh before the car accident, and the Makesh before the car, after the car accident. Mm. And I don't know. We lost something in that car accident.
Shit, man.
I don't want to lie. Mm. That, like, outside of the car accident, You don't mess with Makesh on the mic. Mm. Like, I always knew my place. You know, I always knew my place, and it was just sitting in the pocket, learning. Like, I learned from the best. I walked with the best to ever do it in this country. For real.
Sure.
I've seen that guy do things that, you know what I mean? I was there for all of it, right? I saw it.
Sure.
Makesh doesn't get enough of his flowers, man.
What does he,
for real.
What would he do? Like, does he write on the spot? Does he freestyle?
Everything.
Sure.
Everything. Now, Makesh is the business, man. For real. He's the guy that put me on. You know, he's the guy that believed in me. You know, that, in fact, we started a group instead of eight.
Two, it was called Two?
Two Slice.
Yeah.
We started a group, and yeah. It always inspired me.
Shit, man. That's amazing, bro. Yeah, yeah. So let's go to the Benny McCarthy song.
Yeah, yeah.
How did that come about? Because I know you had to fly to... Oh, Zwa had to fly to...
So the Benny thing... One of the guys we worked with at BMG, Lance McCormack, knew Benny's manager, who was... Flap, I forget his name. Anyway. Benny Star was on the rise. He had just finished playing for Seven Stars here.
Yes.
And he was on the way to Ajax, right? So he wasn't the Jose Mourinho Benny.
Yes.
I think if it was the Jose Mourinho Benny, we wouldn't have gotten him, you know?
Did you even pay for him to be on the track?
I don't think so.
Wow.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Rob Moore, I think that was Benny's manager, yeah. Rob Moore.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were going to Bafana Bafana. Benny was, you know, then and is now a prolific goal scorer.
So Bafana reached out to you guys to make a song?
No. We kind of, you know, after Palafala, felt, you know, that we need to do a song for the World Cup.
Oh.
Independent of anybody asking for anything, you know. And then we reached out to Benny, Rob Moore. He was keen. And... yeah, I remember the day they said, yeah, Benny's on, you know, because we had done the track.
Mm.
The track was done. And Zwai had to fly to the, you know, to the Netherlands the next day. And I remember having to meet Zwai and Tukulo at the studio. We literally, Tukulo and I wrote Benny's verse in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because it had to be simple, right?
Yeah.
If you listen
like
to the verse,
fish and chips.
It's simple. You know, because you got to factor the fact that, you know, we're dealing with a soccer player.
The Lekka fish and chips come from?
It's an old 80s track.
Yeah.
Oh. She don't like the buravos.
Yeah.
She says, too dick. Hey, Lekka fish and chips. Hey, Lekka fish and chips. It's not all right. Yeah.
That was genius, dog.
Yeah.
I saw in the video you guys went in the Netherlands. Only Zwai was.
Yeah. We were in the old Orlando Stadium.
Yeah.
So Zwai flew over, did vocals, came back, and then we still needed to shoot the cover. There's the cover story when then Benny's back.
Yeah.
Training with Bafana. Bafana's like, you can't come here. It's training, you know? We were like, Rob, we're coming to shoot the cover.
Yeah.
We've got a jacket. If you remember, we were wearing like these jackets. And then Benny, they had like a, not a halftime, but they had a break in between training.
Yes.
And in between training, he came. We stood next to a wall.
The cover.
That was it.
Oh, wow.
That was it.
I read on Sowetan that your first gig as TKZ, you guys got paid 2,000 rands.
Six grand. Split it two ways, 2 grand each. It was a constant 500 in Durban in June. of 96.
96. Listen to that, bro. Mm.
I blew my $2,000 all in one day.
What did you do?
I bought a Tommy Hilfiger jacket and Replay jeans, I think.
Oh, shit. Yeah. You still got those?
Nah.
Bro, who could sell those on eBay,
man? Yeah, auction them, man.
And then at the height of your guys' career, how much were you guys making, like, per gig?
Jeez, man. About 50 to 100 grand.
Hundreds? No. In the 90s?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Bugalav.
Yeah. Yep.
No, that's us. They had a tax problem.
Yeah, sure. The tax problem, man.
And promoters were paying that.
Yeah, promoters were paying that. I mean, if you think about it, you know, if you go back then, there's not much we're competing with.
Mm.
That's why CD sales and physical sales are through the roof. Because we're not competing with much. We're not competing with data. We're not competing
Shit, let's
with...
Let's check how much you're making on CD sales.
We're not competing with...
Streaming.
Hardware, streams.
Yeah, all these things.
It's like, that's all you get. It's either you're going to get them on CD or you're going to get them on stage, right?
Mm. Yeah. Typical album, how many units would you guys sell?
250,000
yeah. units, right? How much was one CD?
About 89 rand.
89 rand.
But that's let's not just, us, right?
Yeah, let's just make it 90 rand. 22 million.
That's the record
Fuck
company.
Yeah.
That's the record company.
Because they signed, remember?
Yeah, we were artists.
How much were you getting from that?
We weren't smart. How much? Well, whatever 15% of that is. Less advances.
Yeah. Yo. Times by 0.15%, 3 mil.
Divided by 3.
That's not a lot.
Shoo, 1 mil each.
That's not a lot.
From 22.
It's not a lot.
Damn. Not Ash, a lot. Can we go back in time, dog? I could have been your manager.
You know, I want to say something just to encourage just all of you, you know, because I think there's a kind of fear that we bought into. And I mean, I'll speak for myself again, you know, where people will kind of make you feel as if you won't be able to kind of handle, you know, the pressures that come with stepping out on your own, you know. Granted, there's levels, you know. You can do, you can be an artist, you can then move over to maybe sign a licensing deal, and this is obviously assuming that you're making money in the process, you know, along that kind of continuum, to be able to get to a place where you then you know, doing a distribution deal, right? But people then made us feel as if, you know what, you need us. You can't do this without us. You know, and I bought into that lie, and it's absolute rubbish, because who's got the goods?
Yeah, you do.
We've got the goods.
Yeah. Who's buying? We are.
We've got the goods. You know, infrastructure and all of that stuff, I guess you can figure it out, right?
Mm.
And maybe the fear is, what if I stuff it up, you know? But I just want to encourage someone to say, you know what? Take a leap of faith, man.
Mm.
You know, and what's encouraging is there's people who've come after us who've taken the bull by the horns.
And they're reaping the
rewards.
And
they've done it.
Yeah.
And they've done it, which is encouraging, you know?
Did you guys, like, ever perform overseas during
the
summer?
Yeah, plenty.
Yeah? Where did you guys rock?
Oh, jeez. Denmark, London, Denmark. Atlanta, Dallas.
This is the night before social media. You couldn't even snap that you... Oh, this is crazy.
No, we performed overseas a lot. African continent. Yeah, man.
And how was the reception? Would people, like, know your songs?
Yeah. Look, I mean, we'd perform to, what, the diaspora, right?
Diaspora, yeah.
You know? But, yeah, great experience.
And why would you say they wanted you guys back then?
Who?
The guys overseas.
I mean, it's diaspora. It's people. It's South Africans, Namibians, Zimbabweans.
Oh, diaspora is South Africans?
Yeah, from here, overseas.
Oh, why are they called diasporas?
I don't know.
It's
the word.
It's just the word.
That's the word.
Like,
that's
Nigerian diaspora is all over the world. South African diaspora in London.
I get it, though.
Now it's English class. Welcome to St. Stephen's, Mac.
Okay, yeah. I guess that's what
I guess that answers your question, right?
Yeah.
Hey, cool.
What cars were you buying at the time?
Mac G feels like those kids that you like see at the show, you know.
You're like,
you know those kids, you're like, dude, no, come on, man. And they take like really crazy. Like what?
Man, you nailed it.
Dude. Dude, we had cars, man. I mean, jeez.
Okay, tell me about your favorite one. The one that you liked.
My favorite?
Yeah.
The M Coupe, I guess. You know, I had a nice ZM Coupe, a black one, you know. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
When I was a lighty, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What does Palafala mean?
Palafala, I don't know. We need to ask Makesh. Mm. But Palafala, Tinala Poscon, Ula Palafala. You know, Palafala is either Kipala or there's a noise or,
tap, tap.
You know, there's a party, you know.
Or like tap tap, ne?
What's that now?
Palafala.
Man, they weren't just saying stevias, they were eating falafels.
Oh.
That's where it comes from.
No, palafala, I guess it there's a literal, I think palafala is actually like pala,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But I think figuratively, it could be like Tina Lapo's corner.
That's where it goes down.
It's, yeah. It's happening.
Yeah.
Noisy.
Yeah.
It's, there's vibes.
Yeah. Tell me about Mambochi, because I think it's got one of the best ad-libs, like, ever, you know?
Classic.
That song's just filled with ad-libs, bro. Pulaye.
Yeah, I guess. What was I saying? Akutle, mpulaye. Yeah, I mean, we were just full of it then, man, you know? Full of it in a sense that, yeah, it's like akutle, man. I can't hear you, man. We are just the business, you know?
Yeah.
Mpulaye then, you know, if you can't take it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, Halloween, wow, jeez.
You were high at that time, when you did Halloween,
big time, yeah. And people say, I always read on social media, yeah, but le since yegela matrax ngatasa yenza ma heat.
You know how people are, dog.
You know my biggest album ever, solo.
Yeah,
I was clean.
Whoa,
and people
really
don't know that.
Which one was that?
And the Beat Goes On.
Ah,
that was my first clean album.
Which one did it have?
It was Zonke, Reverse Yom Tlaba.
That's the album I love.
That's not the best. Yeah.
That's
right.
The best, dog.
Yeah.
It's my house.
That was the one before.
Oh,
I was high there.
Yeah. Yo, that's dope, bro.
Yeah. So, you know, the myth that you need, I mean, Dubula was clean, you know? The myth that you need drugs to make music, I used to believe that, you know? I mean, I think back to a time where I was about to work with Mdu, about to do Ayeye. And Mdu's this flipping giant, right?
Yeah. Megastar.
He said, yes, come to my studio, you know. And I remember I was trying to stay clean. I think I was 6 months clean.
Mm. Was he on drugs?
I don't know.
Mm.
He's nice to study. I was going to the guy's house. And I guess insecurities again, you know, the insecurities that I struggled with a lot as a young man.
Mm.
And I had to get high to go work with Mdu, you know.
Shit.
But thank God we created Ayeye, right?
So that's when you relapsed, eh?
No, I've never relapsed.
For real?
Yeah.
But you just said you were 6 months.
Well, I guess, yeah, then. I'm saying post when I went to rehab.
Yeah.
To kind of.
We'll get to that. I want to talk about the songs, man.
Okay.
Because your catalog, there's so much.
Okay,
you know?
Cool.
So I just want to talk about the ones I really like. It's My House. How did that come about?
It's My House was actually in Ntokozo. Do you guys remember Ntokozo? Round and round, round and round, baby.
Yes,
remember
Ntokozo? Yes. She later dated. I remember her. She later dated him Sawa or something like that. I remember.
I can't remember.
I remember blonde hair.
Well, she changes her hair.
Yeah, like, I remember her.
Sure, she.
Come on.
Mindla had that baseline for her actually.
Is it?
Yeah, and I heard it. I was like, ah, speak it. No, dude. Letangai. And then he gave me the track. Tuli Tilis, my late homie Tuli Tilis, wrote that hook. For as long as I pay for more. So shalankuta. Wrote that before he died.
Wow.
Yeah. We recorded the track. Like weeks later, he died.
Wow.
What was the question about the track again?
How did it come about? That's it. Yeah, you explaining it.
That's the vibe. Yeah,
I love that.
It's
track,
a Mandla Bruce Vitwe combination.
Is that sample? It's My House.
Yeah. It's on one of the hardware. What do you call those things?
The programs like that you use.
Yeah, like software. Oh, you
software,
know, now it's
like,
software.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's on one of those kind of things.
Oh.
Sample pack.
Sample pack.
Yeah,
exactly that.
So before Fruity Loops and how were you guys recording? Like analog?
Our first album was analog. We recorded on tape.
You kidding?
Yeah. We recorded on tape, and if you made a mistake, they had to like cut the tape and put it together again. Our first album was on tape, and then we went digital from there.
So when you say on tape, what do you mean? Like, I don't understand.
Reels.
So when you're recording, the tape's recording.
You know the reels, those like the big, those big ones. Reels?
Yeah. And then when you fuck up, you gotta go back.
Yeah, the guy, the engineer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's gotta do the things.
And then the final.
So now I mean digital. Yeah. I mean, like when you guys edit sound.
Yeah.
You know, you just literally chop it up.
Yeah.
So that chopping was a guy doing that to tape.
And then what we heard when it's the final product was the full version that was cut up.
100%.
Shit, man.
On tape. Yeah. I mean, that's genius from an engineer perspective. I don't know how those guys do that, you know?
Yeah.
We were just all about the, what you might call, the making the music, right?
And I hear in all your songs, like you use a lot of samples. I know Reverse Womhlaba.
Yeah.
That was inspired by Biggie, ne?
So Reverse Womhlaba is actually a Tukulo's original line. Spete abo lady shade of Ganjan, sure. Abantwana bama shwing shwa. Abantwana ba peta ma kevs womhlaba. Nama Reverse Womhlaba, man. That's our first album.
Yeah.
Tukulo did that.
Okay.
Then I heard the Biggie track. Can I get with you? Cause why you wanna get with me? Cause you got I was like, okay, you got a big BUT, we've got Reverse Womhlaba. Asambe.
Asambe. That was genius, bro.
Yeah, and it's funny how it just landed together like that, you know? But anyway.
Another track I liked, Zonke.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you're just spilling your heart out on that track, man.
Yeah, man, Zonke was at a good time in my life, man. Mm. You know, I'd kind of beaten my demons clean, new lease on life, you know? And making music is a spiritual, actually a spiritual experience,
yeah.
You know, a process.
Mm.
And where I was at, man, it's just nothing was impossible, and you can hear it in the music, right? Was a very special time, yeah. Goofy on the beat, you know, classic.
Bansula for Life, do you want to talk about that one?
Do you want to talk about
that? Yeah, man, I like that.
I've spoken about it a number of times.
What have you said? I haven't heard anything you've said about
it. I'm saying over the years.
Yeah. What have you said?
What I'm about to say now. Well, I guess maybe what's really cool about that track, what I enjoy about that track is... It was my first solo project, right? Coming out of TKZ, ne?
Yeah.
And then there's this kind of notion that TKZ is kind of a law unto its own in its own planet. And we didn't really socialize with the rest of the industry, you know? But we were so inspired by the rest of the industry. I mean, any given time, I was playing Trompies, I was playing MM Deluxe, I was playing Do,
yeah.
I was playing everybody, you know? Because... First, you kind of need to obviously know what everyone's doing, but you know, the good ones really stood out, you know. So, and Mandla Spikiri, and not even then, I'm talking about early 90s, 92, 93.
Mm.
Mandla Spikiri, you know, we used to play Koti Kloof when we were still part of MM Deluxe with M2. Mm. So, Mandla was always I was always a massive Mandla fan.
Koto was underground that time.
I could say, well, 92, 93, yeah. 100%. No one even knew what it was.
Exactly.
Right? It was just all instrumentals. So going out and doing a solo project and actually going, I'm going to call this guy.
Okay.
You know, I called him. And to date, he'll tell you, he didn't expect that call. Mm. You know, everyone at Galawa was shocked. But we did the track, I'd say about half an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. We didn't, because I knew exactly what I wanted. There's a sample that they had used on one track, and I said, I want that sample. We got to use that sample. So from a beat perspective, the beat was already done, which is the beat you've come to know.
Yeah.
And then he just laced the bass and the keys, and I'd already written the lyrics.
Yeah.
So that's why it was quite a quick experience.
And back then, when you guys were recording, are there like girls, booze?
Nah. That's just a fallacy. I mean... Maybe if it happened throughout my whole career where the whole booze and chicks and whatever, maybe 5-10 times.
Okay.
But more often than not, the guys are actually quite professional about what they do.
Yeah.
And take it quite seriously.
Yeah.
But if it so happens to, you know, if you so happen to be making music on a Friday, it's one of those things.
It's one of those things.
We're hanging out at the studio, Tukulo's chick comes, Rai's chick, the chicks are there.
Yeah.
You know? and but they're your girlfriends, they're there.
Yeah.
You know, you're boozing up and you're making music.
We're recording,
you
know, there at Kalawa here by
in Woodmead or whatever.
Yeah, Woodmead.
Kello Manor. Kello Manor. Yeah.
I've been Kello in a studio station there. It's remarkable, eh?
Kello Manor.
It's amazing how these guys work.
There's amazing energy there.
Yeah.
I really love that studio.
Before I tell you about my favorite track that you've done, what's your favorite track?
I must only say Amasheleng.
I don't even know that one.
Yeah, it's on my first album. Produced by Moses Mlelekwa and myself.
Tuli Tilis is on it, right?
No.
Oh,
it's just me and Moses.
Mm-hmm.
How does it go again? Libatobona or Nakitsweri. Nifunu Bonugutimina Petain. He wants everything nice. That track.
Is that Mashele? No, he wants everything nice.
Yeah.
He can tell you the price.
Yeah, that's the
one. Yeah.
He is really like that guy, Kosho. Like full on. you're killing me, man. You're like full on. Every time you speak, I see myself backstage, go passing, and there's literally this kid by like the window. And then, you know, he's like small, you know, and he doesn't want to go. And you don't want to chase him away because you can see this kid is like flip, you know?
You'll shatter him.
Yeah, you'll just shatter him, you know?
Okay, last song. Favorite song from you, for me, has to be End of Fire.
Okay, but that's Mindless. That's Mindless Pikiri's song.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Mindless Pikiri's
song.
Okay. Yeah.
So that obviously comes with you working with him, no?
For sure.
Yeah, fuck, I love that song, bro.
Track is dope, eh?
It's a classic. Sorry. Okay. All right. Let's go to the demons. Tell me about your first line, bro.
First line?
Yeah.
Of Coke?
Yeah.
Damn.
Remember
it?
Yeah.
What else did I expect coming here? You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, damn. You know? Yeah. I thought maybe they'll be in a good mood today and just give me a free pass. You know?
Have you heard Scott Storch? The
Who?
First time he tried his first line.
Who?
Scott Storch, the
Who,
producer.
Who's that?
He produced Still Dre. All
right.
He's like a big producer. He's got massive songs. So he was trying to smash Paris Hilton, and she was doing coke. So they go to the bathroom, and she said he must sniff it from her ass.
Damn.
And he's trying to smash, so what is he going to do? Sniffed.
No ways.
And the rest was history.
No ways.
Yeah.
My
first sniff?
Time.
You sniffed. From someone's ass?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't a crackhead.
My first time was... we're actually at a party. It was myself, Magesh, and Tuli Tilis. And... this one friend of ours... You know when you don't know... You're kind of just going about your business, right?
Yeah.
And you always hear about this thing. And kind of the way it showed up was like, flip, there it was, you know?
First time you see it.
Yeah, I was like, wow, here's this thing. And then the bravado kicks in. Mwah, he sends the next little. You know?
Yeah.
But the insecurities, obviously, you know, are always covered up by this kind of larger than life persona, you know? And it was at a party, so one of these northern suburbs, took my first line.
Does Lance bring it to you?
Who's Lance?
Lance Sturr.
No.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
Which one?
No. So, that was my first experience. I thought it wasn't going to amount to anything because I'm funny. Why would I do that? It's an X, you know?
Mm.
And then, that's how it catches you. It was given to me for free. For the first couple of times, and then kind of when I understood the high, I was like, okay, this is what this is about.
Yeah.
And I got hooked.
How does it feel, man? I'm so scared, bro.
Yeah, I'd rather stay away from it. There's a 2% recovery rate.
Shit. You know,
2%.
That's
2%.
Crazy.
So,
and you part of that 2%?
I'm the 2%.
Wow.
So, I'm very fortunate, you know, blessed by God to live to tell the tale. But there's a 2% recovery rate, and don't start because you might not be as lucky as me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I've got a very addictive personality. Yeah.
You know, don't start because you might not be as lucky as me. You asked me how it was. Jeez, I guess. Yeah,
because you're already larger than life.
Makes you. Yeah, I was going to use that term. It really makes you feel like unstoppable.
I heard it's an ego drug.
Yeah, yeah, it feeds your ego.
Yeah,
you know.
First,
and it's kind of the it preys on the most insecure.
Oh shit!
That's the flip. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you're dependent on it.
100%. Because then you can't be that person outside of, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a lie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
which is a lie.
Which is a lie.
Because I know you, when I read your book, you said you were 6 months away from doing heroin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So at the height of your binging, how much were you consuming? Like a day a week?
Oh, jeez, man. You're taking me back 20 years, man.
Yeah.
Man, jeez. 4 or 5 grams a day? Easy.
How big is the grams?
A gram is a gram.
Like, I don't know these things.
I don't know too, bro.
Well, I mean,
I know how big is a gram.
Gram.
I've got an idea.
So go.
Gram is
when
tiny.
So when you get home,
it's a lot of grams.
Go measure what a gram looks like.
Yeah.
Times it by 5.
Shit.
How much were you spending on that a month?
Well, what was that? 500 a pop per gram.
And how many pops a day?
Four.
Shucks. 2.5.
And that's just that's a day. It chows it. Yeah. It messes you up financially.
How much do you think you had spent, like, in total, like...
Two bar.
Oh.
That's the calculation.
Yeah.
When I go back, it's easily 2 million ran up my nose.
And was, like, everyone doing it at the time? Like, is it a cool thing or was just...
Nah, I mean, it was a select few. This is the 90s,
right? Yeah, we don't even know what it looks like.
This is...
Yeah.
It's very niche.
Mm, mm.
You know, it hasn't hit mass market, you know?
And it was perceived to be, like, for white people.
I'd say so maybe. I don't know. I guess that and ecstasy, you know. But yeah, I don't know where it's at right now. But by the sound of things, it seems quite prevalent.
Yeah. Like you're not cool if you're not doing it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like same thing back then, right?
Yeah. Mm. And then ecstasy, is that the same as well?
Ecstasy is just kind of a pill that hallucinogen. That's the vibe.
That sounds fun, though.
We love this place. We love this place.
For real? Oh, you're in the place.
We were like,
now it makes sense. No, we really love this place.
Oh, we love this.
Such a wholesome song. That is a drunk song.
Yeah, we were.
Because I got some friends, right? They were doing mushrooms. And before they did them, because I don't do that and the shit, they kicked me out. They're like, yo, we're going to fuck up with our high.
Yeah.
Because they go in some place.
Yeah, it's hectic.
Yeah. Shit, man.
It's hectic.
Fucking hell. And girls, who are you smashing at the time? Must have been a lot, bro.
Ah, but you know, it's like, how do I say this? We shouldn't be talking about that kind
Why
of stuff.
Why not?
Nah, man, who cares?
Bro, I care,
we
bro.
Care.
Nah,
man.
I want to know.
What are you talking about?
I want to know.
It's like, no, man.
Hey?
No, man.
Okay, what type of girls were you into back then? Like North girls, hood rats, what are we dealing with?
It didn't matter really, didn't it?
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
So you didn't have looks?
You grew up in the hood. You always like pretty girls, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm no different to you.
Yeah.
You know, any one of you, right?
Yeah. But your hit list must have been crazy. Buga love. must have been crazy. Sonke, Mr. Reverse from Saba. What do you say? Why humba nam? But surely you remember like some of the girls that you were with, no?
Yeah, you can't forget. I mean, these were people that were in your life, right?
Yeah.
You can't forget. Maybe some you do forget, but some you don't forget, right? Like normal men, right?
Yeah.
This is not like a foreign concept where you dated. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Any famous girls? No famous girls.
Ah, I'm fine. I see. Yeah. When a man just often going to tell a girl is easy.
Take no nikasa. Dated Noni Kasa.
He dated Noni Kasa?
I think so, yeah.
Who got love?
Yeah,
my nigga.
Oh, everybody knows this, man.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's like, you know.
Okay, let's talk about the girl who broke your heart at Sacred Hearts.
Yeah.
Yeah. What does she do?
I don't know what she does. I don't know where she is.
No,
I think
what
I saw her the other day. What does she do?
Yeah.
dude, I was in standard six, man. You know, and I think she didn't want to kiss me. You know, I think I got into that place where I felt like, no, it's time we kiss, you know. And she wasn't feeling me, man. You know, yeah, I think we only dated for like 2 weeks. And she told me to jump. And it was heartbreaking, man.
Bro, you're in standard six, bro.
Like, you can't deal with that. I had to leave the school.
Yeah, that's how bad it was.
My mom saw, she's like, "Hey, it's not gonna last this one. Hacks, boys' school, no more girls. Save my life."
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
And you haven't seen her since?
You know, dog, I think I did, eh?
Yeah.
I think I was running the one time and I ran past her, but I'm not sure if it was her.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about rehab, bro. First time you go to rehab, because when I was interviewing Trevor Gumbi, he told me it's crazy, man. They locked him up in a room and he had a ball, and he had to tell the ball, "Move, stop, don't move," to, like, I don't know, empower him so he can say no to drugs and stuff like that. How was your rehab experience?
My rehab experience was a, you know, when you, I said this to my wife the other day, actually, I said to her, you know, when you, when you end up at a place, you're like, damn, this is exactly where I need to be.
Yeah.
Because I came from a world where I thought there was no help, man. You know, like, I thought you're in it on your own and no one cares. But lucky enough, I think my mom made sure I hooked up with Brahu. Brahu then kind of got me connected with a certain infrastructure of, a support infrastructure of people who kind of started speaking into my life. And rehab was a place I knew I was going to get help, because people were brutally honest with me. They weren't mincing their words in terms of giving me feedback, you know. And that wasn't a norm in my life. You can imagine flying high, TKZ. No one's kind of telling you the truth, or, you know. And rehab was that kind of place for me.
Did they make you do any crazy stuff like what Trevor?
No, look, I mean, you call it crazy. Crazy is relative, you know. I'm sure it's a certain, you know, there's different therapy, you know,
techniques.
Right? And I've never heard of that one. And yeah.
What techniques were you doing?
Nah, I mean, we had normal group sessions. You know, you sit much like how we're sitting now, and you kind of, people kind of, you know, the counselor kind of throws questions at you to kind of get what's going on.
Okay.
You know, much like how you probing and you're asking me all of these things, you know. Then I didn't have the luxury of not answering the questions, right?
Yeah. Kind of like now, you know.
What's that?
Kind of like now.
Well,
no, I'm kidding.
Yeah, now I do have the luxury, you know. And look, and I respect the fact that, you know, some questions I do have to answer, but some are like,
nah, man,
we'll live, you know. You know, but yeah, it was a probing session, and through the probing, the method kind of hopes that they'll get to the bottom of stuff, you know. And with me, they did, you know, in terms of what was going on, and. Here I am today, man, 20 years later, you know.
Do you remember the last night where you sat down, you're like, "Booger Love, KB, can't do this anymore."
Yeah. That's it. For sure.
When was
for
that?
For sure. Man? Look, I just remember what I did. I just remember coming back from the lady that Brahu hooked me up with, Janine Lewin. She basically said, "Okay, we're checking you into rehab in 2 weeks. On the 1st of November, you're going in." But it was 2 weeks, you know, before. But she says, "You've got to start now." You know, and she says, "When you get home, whatever alcohol, whatever drugs or whatever you've got, you just got to throw that stuff down the drain." I remember that night kind of coming home and opening the cupboards and just getting rid of that stuff. But it felt liberating to arrive at that place, because here I was, like, taking charge, right? And doing what I needed to do, you know, because if I didn't, I'd be dead.
Dude.
Literally, I'd be dead.
Yeah.
I think I'd have been in jail or dead, but I think I'd be dead. Yeah, one of the two.
And when you see, like, you know, people that you grew up with, that you started the industry with, you know, all passing away, you know, like people like Mshoza, Brown Dash, that makes you feel even more blessed, ne?
Yeah, dude. I mean, I've dodged a bullet, you know? And really, it all boils down to the grace of God, you know. Like, if it wasn't because of the grace of God, like, I wouldn't be here, you know.
Yeah.
That that second chance and really taking advantage and given the ability and the wherewithal to take advantage of that second chance is something that I don't take lightly.
Is that why you got into ministry, like being a pastor? Just to thank God for the second chance?
No, I think it's about understanding purpose.
Okay.
Right? And then I was also sick and tired about hearing about God.
Mm.
And then Saul has got his version of God. Mm. You've got your own. I was like, I want to know this God for myself.
Yeah.
Like I want to know what it says in the Bible, you know? And that's why I went to Bible school. Mm. It was never to become a pastor. It was really just to understand. Because, you know, you read the word, you don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
So let me go to college and learn. And it's undoubtedly one of the best decisions I've made in my life.
Wow.
Like,
why you say that?
From a spiritual growth perspective, I now understand who God is. I now understand, you know, the thoughts that God thinks towards me. You know, gone are those days where I used to think God is some dude sitting in heaven waiting with a stick, waiting to beat me down. You know, God is a God who loves me unconditionally, who wants me to prosper, who wants me to succeed, who wants me. You know, there's a scripture in 3 John 2. It says, beloved, I might just say, oh, mfundis. No, yeah. this is just a dude having discovered an almighty God and now has a relationship with him. Right? And then now obviously there's a responsibility with now having that kind of relationship, having that kind of information.
Mm.
Because I see myself as a beggar trying to tell other beggars where to get food. Because now I got the food. Slightly preaching song under the food. And you know, slightly preaching song, we don't have food. I now walk down the road. You know, Mickey D's is handing out free burgers. I'm like, dudes, free burgers.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah.
And that's what my life is now. It's just like I'm just another beggar telling other beggars, come to get food.
How different is religion or, you know, what you're doing to music? Because in a sense, like when you do music.
So I'm not doing religion. Mine is it's a relationship because religion is rules and regulations.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it's not about rules and regulations.
Yes.
You know, the thing is, I also don't want to get like too technical, you know. And maybe let me just keep it at that. It's not about rules and regulations. It's about having a relationship, you know, with God. It's about, let me use this as an example. You meet a chick.
Yeah.
Right? You only know what kind of a chick she is the closer you get to her.
100%.
When your relationship grows, you then understand, then you understand what the do's and the don'ts are. You understand what I'm saying?
What ticks her off, what doesn't.
100%, you know? And it's about a relationship. But to answer your question, you said
I wanted to say, like, how is it, like, what you're doing? Let's not give it a name.
Yeah.
Similar to music, because in music, if I love Booger Love, I might perceive you as a god. Whatever you say is gospel, you know.
Well, we are created in the image of gods, therefore we are gods, but with a small g, right? So and I guess us worshiping or idolizing, it shows us that inherently we were created to worship.
Okay.
Wow. We actually were created to worship, but not the creation.
Yeah,
the creator.
Oh,
we focus too much on the creation. And it's all about the creator. Yes, we should appreciate the creation because it's been created by the creator.
Yeah.
But we get stuck here. We're like, dude, you are amazing. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a story in the Bible of Jesus coming into Bethlehem on a donkey. He's riding in on a donkey. And this is the week he was about to get crucified, and everyone is shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, King of Kings. And the, you know, when kind of people use that as a sermon, we are the donkeys that Jesus is riding in on. The gifts and blessings, the gifts and talents that God has given you is all him that he's given you. You start expressing those talents, you like the donkey, you like, yo, these people are screaming for me. Like, no, it's him.
Sure.
They're screaming for the one who's riding on top of you.
Wow.
That's what it's about. And the most important thing, let me connect this. We have to connect the gift and the giver of the gift. That's when it all makes sense. When you start to think, yeah, I'm Mac G, I'm Saul, we came up with this idea, you know, now our podcast is like, you know, blazing the charts. Dude, it's gifts and talents that have been bestowed upon you by him. And when you connect that, you'll start, you know, sustainability becomes inevitable. When you don't connect that, what becomes inevitable, you're going to mess it up.
Yeah.
You're going to abuse it because then it becomes about the chicks. It becomes about the cars. It becomes about the lifestyle.
All these frivolous things.
100%. Whereas if you now connect yourself to the giver of the gift, this thing is sustainable. Yeah. It can become, you think this is big.
Yeah.
It becomes like, okay, what do you want us to use it? What do you want to use it for?
Hmm.
You know?
Hectic, bro.
It's amazing, bro.
Yeah.
Damn. Hey, man, I'm joining his church.
Where do you subscribe, eh?
Yeah, man. Now you're good, bro. This makes sense, man.
Yeah, man.
So what they...
You know, that's why they can never take it away from you.
Let me tell you. The easiest thing... You see, what we need to understand is there's also forces of... There's forces, negative forces. And for you to deny the existence of negative dark forces, for you to deny the existence, you do that at your own peril. You do that at your own peril. You need to understand that there are forces that are against you, that are of the dark world, that don't want you to hear this stuff. Sure. That make it seem as if this relationship with God thing is unattainable. It's not. It's the most attainable thing because he's made it so easy. It's the easiest thing to become a Christian. And it's not. And the thing is, even the word Christian, we created that word Christian. And out of reverence, out of respect, Jesus didn't come to start Christianity. He came to facilitate the relationship between God and man. And then we called it things and started doing things. Out of reverence and out of respect. I think the intention there is good. But I think the core message gets lost.
Because where there's good, there's evil as well.
100%. So it's the easiest thing to have a relationship with God. All you have to do is step into his presence. Say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, I want to be in a relationship with you. Lord, help me. He's there. You take one step towards him, he takes 10,000 towards you. That's how desperate he is to get into a relationship with you. Desperate to get into. Like a father. You've got a child, right?
Yeah.
Think of how much you love that kid.
So much, bro.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't even compare.
Yo,
you can't even compare to the love he has for you.
No way.
You can't.
Do you have him on WhatsApp, bro?
Yo. Yeah, bro. It's so easy, man.
That's
all we
deep,
have to do
man.
Is just believe and receive, you know?
And then what's your take on like ancestors, Madlozi? Do you practice that or?
So I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah.
And I believe the only way to God, right, is through Jesus,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't believe in talking through the dead.
Yeah.
So I have my own relationship with God. I don't believe talking through the dead to talk to God for me because Jesus has created that access.
Mm.
And that's what I believe. That's what the word of God says. Don't WhatsApp me. Don't at me. Just don't.
Yeah.
That's my conviction. And the thing is, what's important is I can never enforce my conviction
100%.
On you. 100%. I can't.
100%.
We need to be able to sit across the table like this and vehemently disagree, but still be able to be in a relationship.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
100%.
It's my strong conviction. You can't take that away from me.
And or enforce it.
And 100%. And if it's the opposite for you, I've got to respect that.
Mm.
I've got to respect that. That's where we lose it. We just want to be right at the sake of
being right.
For the sake of being right.
Mm.
And losing out on relationships.
Mm.
You know, it's not about being right. If it's your conviction, okay, cool.
It's your reality.
Be about that.
Yeah.
Do that thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just do it. Jinda machit bachinde. Mudimuta tilalbone ifuta tilalbone whenever tilalbone, you know? Yeah, man.
Fuck, love it, man. Before we go, we gotta play a game. I've got a game that I play. I usually play with like hip hop stars, okay. But I thought I'd switch it up today. So,
because
we never chill with like Kwaito stars. I mean, he's the king of Kwaito. He birthed it.
Yeah, Kwaito God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for real.
So we do a game. It's called.
Didn't you guys have a lady as part of the team?
Yeah, that's for Mondays. Ghost lady.
But today's Monday.
You're right. It's Woman's Day. She's got the off day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, man, that's for the shows that air on Monday.
Oh, okay.
On interviews.
Right. Hey, you're a chiller, dog.
Straight
up. Even though it's the ghost lady.
Yeah, yeah.
So the game we play is One Must Go. I'll give you two artists. You must tell me One Must Go.
All right.
And I wanted to do it Kwaito because we usually do hip-hop guys.
All right, cool.
But we're going to do Kwaito. Mdu Tukulo. One Must Go.
Mdu.
Mdu.
I said it.
Sure.
I didn't stutter.
Trumpis
Alaska.
Alaska. Who was part of Alaska, Kwanje?
Alaska, yo, Abu, what's his name? It's not,
Piquet.
No one, Piquet is the only guy now from there who's Piquet. A bit active.
Les Maadas late.
Oh,
Les yes, Les Maada.
Kabalibal, anyway.
Okay, cool. Boom Shaka Bongo Muffin.
Oh.
You. Bongo Muffin.
Oh! Oh!
I'm a Lebo Mathosa dude, eh? Yeah. Like through and through, man. Like, yeah. like, yeah. So where there's Lebo Mathosa, don't mess.
How big was Boom Shaka and Bongo Muffin at that time, bro?
Well, we were talking off air about targets.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had an X on their back, you know?
Yeah.
When we were starting out, they were like the business, but, and we knew where we need to get to and surpass, you know? So they were our benchmark.
Yeah.
Yeah, much respect, much love. I mean, we've shared great moments. We've all done amazing things for the industry.
Yeah.
You know, we've all been seminal moments for the industry. So yeah, much respect to both Bongo and Boom Shaka, but Bongo got to go.
Bongo. All right, Zola 7 Mendoza.
Zola 7.
Ah. Hey, that's a tough one.
No, it's not.
Not for him. Not for him, man.
Easy.
How's that easy?
Why
for
is
you,
it
bro?
Easy?
Because I just said so. It's easy.
Yo, but Zola has got more hits. What did you say? Maybe for our generation.
Like, yeah.
No, you guys are smoking something. What are you smoking?
Zola got more hits.
I mean, Mendoza's
man.
Got Nkalakata. What else?
No.
50-50.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're not having this argument.
Brandeis, Mzambia.
Yo, you're killing me. Mzambia.
Mzambia, ne? Okay. Arthur Mapaputsi.
Arthur.
Ne?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, and he's got too many tenders. He doesn't need to stay. Brenda Fassie, Levin Matosa.
You.
Yeah. No, you can't do that.
Yeah, ne?
No.
That's blasphemy.
No. Sacrilege.
Sacrilege, yes.
Loves blasphemy, this guy.
Yeah, no, that one, I tried to, I was like, should I? That's too much.
Sacrilege.
Too much, bro.
Sure, you can't, eh?
No, you can't.
Sure.
Ever again.
Ne. This one should be easy. Mshoza Chomi.
Chomi.
Yeah, no. I thought as much. Kabelo, thank you so much, Mr. Boganov, man. How's the family?
Good.
Yeah.
Stronger than ever, man. Yeah, blessed. I'm a blessed man.
How many kids you got now?
Two.
Two. Mm. Oh, yeah. I'm working on a second one.
It's good. Are you married?
No, not yet.
Are you getting married?
Yeah, I'm planning on to.
Okay. How long have you been with her for?
How long have I been with her?
For a while.
7 years. 7 years.
Eh?
7 years.
So what kind of chicks you like?
Big bums.
Reverse. I was trying to be him, yeah, but it went over his head, you know.
Let me answer you. Reverse on top. I wanted to ask you before you leave, bro. What happened to you becoming a Springbok player?
Eish, dude. It was all a dream. It was all a dream. And then I guess, you know, parting shot, we always ask people, what do you want to be? What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be? The question we should be asking is, what are you willing to sacrifice? Because it's one thing going, you want to be a Springbok player, but do you understand the sacrifices?
Wow, man.
Yo, you're right. Because
everyone can be, I want to be this, I want to be this, I
want to
be this.
Everybody wants to be famous.
Everyone wants to be something.
Everybody wants to be
famous. But are you willing to sacrifice?
But you know, when you're famous, you lose all your privacy. It's gone.
They've sacrificed.
It's
gone. What are you willing to sacrifice? Yo. If you're willing to sacrifice it, by all means. So, back to the question. Springbok rugby player. Joe, I got to Technicon. You know, I went from being one of the biggest guys in the school to literally becoming tiny. And I played maybe half a season on
those
the bench.
Afrikaners are huge.
Those Afrikaners
bro.
Are big, man.
Yeah.
And I wasn't willing to sacrifice. I mean, that's the honest truth, right?
Yeah.
But then music came along. I was willing to sacrifice everything. And
yeah.
I did.
Yeah. And to the best.
And now, you know,
yeah.
Here we are.
Where we at now? Are we working on an album? What's happening?
Yeah, man. I'd love to... I think sonically where the things are at now, it's kind of come back nicely into our pocket.
Oh yeah, shit. What do you think about my piano, bro?
Sick.
Nah. Nah.
Sick. It is quiet though.
Lines, it
is quiet. It's quiet though. It's quiet though through and through.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the guys just wanna feel special, and they are special. They're making some nice, you know, nice beats. And yeah, I'm gonna be dropping something soon. I'm doing something with Kutwano Da Krook.
Nice.
He's I'm featuring on something he's done. And I'd love to do like a 10th final project, because it'll be my 10th album.
Wow.
And then I'm out of here. That's it.
Can I do the, your intros?
Yeah, yeah, sweet. Meh. Done.
In that castle. Last piano song you listened to, who you vibing with?
Last piano song I listened to, does it even count as piano? I mean, I was listening to MFR Souls.
Yes, it does.
Love You Tonight.
Oh.
Is that a piano track?
Beautiful.
Yeah, is it really?
Yes.
I mean, come on, guys.
What is it?
Did you guys don't know what you want. Yeah, geez, he killed it there.
Hey.
What's he saying there? He's just saying wabu wafe.
Yeah, it sounds
there's
bad.
There's nothing happening
he's
there.
He's palafalating
right?
This. Give me a score.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I mean, yeah, that song is beautiful, man.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Obviously, you love the usual Kabza, Pori.
Yeah, yeah.
Scorpion, have you heard Kings.
Maybe I have. I'm not sure.
You must
not
hear
sure. I must say, I'm not too clued up with the names. Mm. I know the tracks. I mean, obviously, Something Soweto was quite prevalent. Kabza, MFR Souls. Who else?
If a young cat does a sample, like uses one of your lyrics, would you like sue them and get like someone says,
ah, but dude,
tiki tiki.
But it's owned by the label, remember?
Oh.
The masters.
And I mean, you listen to the radio now, that's all you hear, right?
True.
So that horse has bolted.
Meh.
And you just take it as a
thank you.
Yeah.
All right. In closing, bro, we always ask everyone that we interview, what do you want to be remembered as, man, when it's all said and done?
Jeez, you know, that's what a question, especially in light of the passing of Shauna Ferguson, and just listening to what everybody has been saying about him, you know?
Yeah.
And I posted on Instagram, I said, you know, I'm not going to regret the times that it did kind of cross my heart and my mind to hook up with you. And I didn't. But what I will focus on, which is to answer your question, is and what I'd like to be remembered for, you know, is a love for Jesus, love for my wife, love for my children, and love for people.
Wow.
Like Urakipola, at least Barry, I'll tell you anything about, you know? And yeah, I got a lot of work to do. you know, but it's all part of growth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Booger Love, for coming
sweet
through, man.
Sweet, man. Thanks.
I think you do
man,
a lot of interviews, bro. Don't you get tired, like, when people ask you
so
about
I haven't,
the drugs?
I haven't really, though. Eh? It's only, I mean, lately, I've just recently done another one now.
With who?
The Weeknd.
Who's The Weeknd?
The Weeknd.
You are my machidaba. It's Pearly Knaves.
Ah, it doesn't count. That's not an interview, Chief.
What is it?
I don't know.
It's a pilot. anyway. They're my homies, but anyway, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
No, I haven't been doing a lot of interviews, eh?
Yeah.
Like, for real. I think I haven't sat like this in years.
But I'm sure you get sick and tired because they ask the same shit, the drugs.
Yeah, they, I mean, you know. The thing is, I guess it's always important to say stuff. I mean, you ask me very difficult questions.
Yeah.
You know, about my, you know, the woman abuse piece, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
I think it's always important to, even as much as I've spoken about it, to continue owning that story, you know,
kid,
and because there's some people who maybe never seen me own
heard,
it,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
And I don't think I've ever had an opportunity to actually talk about it, maybe on a public platform,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And it's rife right now, bro. Yo,
it's GBV crazy,
is
bro.
Crazy, man.
Yeah. It's crazy, brother. You know, it's like it's embarrassing. And it becomes difficult because people always look out for, you know, and I say this with so much, I say this so loosely, with people who seem to be leaders to say something. It becomes so difficult when you know you're just as guilty.
Yeah, yeah. And you're raising a girl child.
That's true. But I have to be honest with my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, and being honest is, and owning your stuff, I really believe is a direction, because the denial is just gonna, you know, perpetuate the nonsense, right? Yeah.
She looks like she's gonna be a superstar. She's got her own YouTube channel, eh?
No, not yet.
Oh, not yet.
Not yet. She thinks she does. She's on Insta, but she thinks she's on YouTube.
All right, man. We are here. Podcast.
Shabba
Fit. Booger Love. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it, man.